Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Welcome to, thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is building bridges, embracing diversity, equity, and inclusion in the multifamily workplace. I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans, and both are nationally sought-after multifamily industry speakers, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Communication and Social Media at Grace Hill, and Dana Duckworth, a DEI consultant and culture and engagement strategist. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you so much for having us, Paul.
So,
Thank you, Paul.
One of the things that I when discussing this topic and putting forth kind of an outline of what is important to cover, I just want to read for our listeners a paragraph that you guys put together. What we want to do today is discuss creating a comprehensive understanding of how to attract diverse talent, foster inclusive onboarding processes, identify and rectify internal biases, and establish sustainable initiatives that foster a truly inclusive culture. That is a grand task. That is something that is certainly needed, not just in the multifamily industry, but across all industries. But Steffi, talk a little bit about, I know you've been involved as well as Dana in this, talk a little bit about what all that means.
It's a lot. You know, I think it's easy when you read or talk about any of these initiatives for employees to get overwhelmed, to think that they are supposed to put together this comprehensive and sustainable program that it is successful in a matter of days, even hours sometimes. And it's important to note that DE&I initiatives really have to evolve. They're going to be ever-changing as our landscape and environment around us changes. So don't hear that and think, wow, I have not even started yet, because you're not alone. You know, there are so many companies that are just scratching the surface as we talk about things like this. And I am just thrilled to be here to talk about it, because the first step is always awareness, talking about things that we want to do and need to do. And that starts to bring change. And then as we embrace that change is when we start to make the impact. And I'm thrilled to just dig into this with Dana today.
Yeah, Dana, what are your thoughts as far as this? And we're going to talk about what it means to take the first step. But what are your general thoughts?
Yeah, so my thoughts are, we gave you a lot of words. And, you know, when we see these words and we think about the verbiage, it does sound overwhelming, to Stephanie's point. Like, I have to create this massive thing and create a shift within the company culture, and there's so many processes. But if we break it down to the human element, what we're really asking you is to build a space where people feel included, where there's transparency, where everyone is able to show up as their most authentic selves. So if we're able to break it down and get rid of some of these words that make our mind kind of spiral when we think about the workplace, it really is not going to be as hard of a task as you think to get started, because one, there are other people who've already started doing these things, people like myself and Stephanie, who are here to support others who want to start to create these spaces. And you don't know what you don't know. So seeking education and finding out what it is going to work best for your organization is going to be a great starting point for anyone who is serious about creating inclusive work cultures.
And speaking of a starting point, Stephanie, what is step number one?
Oh, my gosh. It is so hard to come up with just one step. Don't put me on the spot here. The very first step. You know, I really think about, you've heard me talk, Paul, before about what I consider pre-boarding. So that is before an employee has even accepted to be an employee with your organization. This is, you know, when you are courting someone or you are advertising or you are just in general putting your company and brand out there in the world for others to see. To me, the first space, you know, would have to be adopting inclusive language. That is language that you use as the culture of your organization. It is the job descriptions that you are going to post for potential employee candidates to see. And, you know, making sure that everything you are putting out there is inclusive to everyone. And some of the language is so simplistic, Paul. You know, I think about the first time that I started to really dive into language and language that, let's say, leasing consultants per se use. Everything from Jack and Jill bathrooms and master bedrooms, but taking that even a step further to looking at things like walking score. You know, walking score was a big deal for many, many years in terms of apartments and their locality to other spaces. But not everyone has the ability to walk. So when we use certain types of languages, it can really defer people to want to work for your company or feel like they are not a part of your company because of the language you choose to use. And that is something that is easy to begin to look at, because once you bring awareness to it, I promise you, even if you slip up and say things, because we will all do that, you immediately will catch yourself and say, oh, that was such a better way to say that. And I think that that's a great starting place for any organization.
Yeah, we've got about 4 minutes left. What are your thoughts, Dana?
Yeah, I agree with Stephanie. That verbiage is going to be key. In a multifamily sense, if we think about it, our curb appeal is so important to us. Our online curb appeal has to be equally as important to us. What is our representation in that space? Before people pick up that phone, call us, they know anything about us, are we showing our diversity mission statement on our website? Do we have photos that show inclusive, that this is an inclusive community? And then back to what Stephanie was saying about the verbiage, when we're putting out roles, so we're hiring for our next leasing agent, assistant property manager, someone in HR, are we using verbiage that will attract people to those roles? Or are we doing some ableism by saying, hey, you have to have the ability to lift 20 pounds? Well, if they're working at a desk or working from home, is that really necessary? Then ageism, words like tech savvy or seasoned. And then, of course, you have the more male-driven job descriptions that boast about being competitive, aggressive, whereas it may deter a woman who is the candidate for that role because we're looking for words that may include collaborative, dependable, honest, and loyal. Also, there's a socioeconomic status. For some roles, they require that you do a project or you pitch something, specifically in supplier roles. So you're asking someone to do a level of work without compensation, and that's taking their time and that's taking their ability to actually nail a position that they could really be dynamic in. So there's so many ways in which we create exclusionary practices that honestly we may not think about, but once we gain the knowledge, we can go back and we can correct those things.
Stephanie, we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment. What about looking in non-traditional places for your workforce? Does that play a role?
Oh, for sure. You know, you could look around at your operations and policies and procedures and notice a ton of things that could be better, could be changed, could be different. You know, I tell you this, I talk to a lot of hiring managers constantly in the HR space, and I was blown away to find out how many of them rely on their intuition. So have you ever heard someone say, I just have a gut feeling about this candidate, or I have a gut feeling about this person? Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, that is irrelevant. It really comes down to that is one of the biggest hiring biases that are out there. If a hiring manager has a subconscious bias towards a certain demographic per se, relying on that intuition will likely result in biased results. That then can hurt people. It can help people, but it can more so hurt people. And things that come down to not just hiring, but how about retaining people and job advancement career opportunities?
Yeah, and we've got about a minute left. Dana, what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, as a graduate of an HBCU, historically Black college or university, I know that there's a vast amount of talent in those universities, and often they're overlooked because people are not even considering them when they're searching for their next hire. They're not putting those universities in their criteria when they're doing the searches, considering hiring managers. They should be looking for people with diverse backgrounds, so people with different education, people with unconventional education, people with employment gaps because they went to travel the world. These are all ways you can diversify your employee base.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be right back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your property today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress. Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is building bridges, embracing diversity, equity, and inclusion in the multifamily workplace. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, and both are nationally sought-after multifamily industry speakers, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Communication and Social Media at Grace Hill, and Dana Duckworth, a DEI consultant in culture and engagement strategist. Before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, we kind of covered in the first segment what to do before someone comes to work and how to change organically within the organization, your language and the way you refer to things. But let's talk a little bit about the onboarding process, and why that's important, Stephanie.
Onboarding is one of the most critical roles of an employee life cycle, aside from just DE&I initiatives. When you add on the fact that you want it to be an inclusive workspace for everyone, it definitely elevates the need and want and desire for a more comprehensive onboarding program. I mean, you think about it this way. Onboarding really sets the tone for the rest of the employee's journey through your company, and in fact will leave such a lasting impact on them that will far succeed even that company. So we're talking, you know, multiple companies and generations from now, they'll still remember that onboarding experience if it was great, and especially if it was not so great. So I think it's, you know, important to put a lot of emphasis on it. It comes down to planning. And I'll say where I can find that employees make the biggest mistakes for onboarding really is about the need for reasonable accommodations. Everybody learns differently. We know that. That is a proven fact. But how are you accommodating them throughout their learning? I've actually worked for multiple companies in the past where we have just a very standard onboarding process. You know what I'm talking about. Day one, you come in and you have a sheet of paper on your desk that's like an outline of these are the things you're going to do. Day one, you're going to start with that fair housing training. You're going to dive right into learning things like phone techniques. Or if you're in more of a leadership role, you dive right into meeting the team and what's, you know, happening and what your policies are and so forth. But how not everybody can, you know, obtain that information in the same manner and make it be sustainable. How do they understand it? So what are we doing to ensure that every employee has what they need, has that equity to be able to understand and be their best self, be their best employee? Because that's really difficult, because I can tell you how hard is it on the first day of a brand new job. Someone's not going to necessarily speak up and say, oh, my gosh, I have dyslexia and I can't read that appropriately. Or, oh, my gosh, I really have back problems and I can't sit for long periods of time. They're not going to tell you certain things because it makes them feel uncomfortable and they feel like they're going to be judged from day one. And they don't want that. They want to come in with, you know, open notions of them being very successful in the organization. So how do we work through those things? How do we make sure that they are being heard and seen and we're making accommodations as a company to do so?
Dana, how do we do that?
In order to do that, you have to have that transparency. So for me, it's very important that even during the interview process, when you're courting candidates, you share that DEI mission statement with them to let them know exactly what they're getting in a company. When you're talking about the company perks, consider inclusion as part of your benefits package. That makes a person like me who has ADHD comfortable in saying, hey, throughout this process, I learn in different ways. I may not go in a straight line. I may zigzag, but I'm going to get to the end point. So that really sets the tone for them to be able to advocate for themselves and share, I may need a consideration for this, similar to what Stephanie said. So really providing insight in some of the programs and processes that you have to support that culture will help that employee as they start to navigate your organization. Also consider who they're interacting with when they first come into the organization. Who are they having their initial interviews with? Who's a part of that onboarding process? Is there someone who does DEI? Do you have a DEI person in your organization? They should be meeting your new hires, people who are champions for inclusion within your organization. They should be built into your onboarding process, because what better way to welcome someone in than to already have someone who is a true champion for inclusion, meeting them on day one and showing them the ropes. Like, of course, we need to get the paperwork done and we need to make sure that we set you up for payroll. But it's equally important that we show you the culture of our organization as soon as you come in that door. This is who we are. This is what our DEI mission statement says. And we want you to be a part of it. You're included. You're here with us now. And we want you to embrace that. And the more you start on day one, the easier it is when it comes time for training or new initiatives or new processes. People are already bought into the brand and already bought into the community that you've created in your organization. So now when something has to change, they maybe understand that change a little bit better because you created this open community of transparency where everybody feels like they belong.
We've got about 5 minutes left in this segment. Stephanie, what are some of the tools that an organization can use to help with this step in the process?
You know, I think the first tool in your tool bag really is something so simple that we forget, and it's communication. You know, Dana just perfectly said it when she talked about transparency. I always say we don't know what we don't know. So before a new employee comes into your organization on day one, are we reaching out to them in whatever form that looks like, their preferred method of communication? Maybe it's email, phone, text, you know, whatever that looks like. Are we reaching out to them, telling them how excited you are for them to start, and really just asking them, what can I do for you to make sure day one is a success or week one is a success? Because when you ask those questions and you wait for an answer and listen to them, you'll be really intrigued to find out what people will say. You can really read between the words, find out what they're thinking, and what is going to make a successful day for them. Furthermore, when we think about communication, this is really huge here. I think most people get super nervous about their first day and week at an organization because it's the unknown. It's, I'm going in, I'm meeting a lot of people, I have anxiety over that. It's a new environment. I just want to dig into the work and get started, but I also know I'm going to be training and new systems and processes, and that can be extremely overwhelming. Let me know some of the basics, like we're going to do this first. We're going to fill out new hire paperwork. You're going to get to meet the employees you're working for. You're going to get to go to lunch at this time. You're going to get to do these things, because it really helps many of us plan out in our minds how our day is going to go. And then, of course, it's that need to make that communication ahead of time so you feel secure. You already have that camaraderie with someone. Because if we're doing practices like blind hiring prior to an employee ever starting, oftentimes you may have not spoken to them before, or you may not have even seen them before. In a perfect world, right, Dana, you would not know much about your candidate in terms of their characteristics from a visual perspective, because Correct. That then helps us with the bias.
We got about 3 minutes left. And so Dana, as Stephanie said, you're actually asking your onboarded employee questions about how they would like to do things. That communication piece has got to be there instead of just force feeding them the company line of what you do. Is that important?
That's very important. I want to go back to what Stephanie said about, you know, the calendaring and showing them what it is that they're going to be doing that day. Again, as a person with ADHD, I need it on my calendar in order for me to be able to understand, process it, and know what direction I'm heading in for that day. So having an actual schedule, not just come in and we'll be doing things from 9 to 12 and then you'll have a break. Like, give me some of the insight so that I can prepare myself to best learn when I come into that space. So I really think that that's important. And then when I first became a supplier and started working for a supplier company a while back, one of the best and things that I remember most is my boss gave me this worksheet on day one. And it was a part of my new hire package. And it asked, what's your favorite candy? What is your favorite group? Should we consider concert tickets for you? What perks you up when you're feeling down? Do you prefer rain or sunshine? Just things to get to know me on a more personal level. And specifically when we're talking about mental health in the workplace, having the transparency to know that, hey, Dana's a little bit down today. Perhaps I should bring her a Hershey bar with almonds. That'll really, you know, kind of help her out. Although I may not know what she's going through, now she's provided me with some insight into things that help her along her way when she's not having her best day. Or if we want to celebrate her because she is having her best day, we're going to put on her theme song. We might turn up Beyonce in the office because we want to celebrate Dana. So it's really little things that you can do. That's easy. She just printed that off and set it on my desk, and it's always meant so much to me.
That's a great idea. Well, we're going to break here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. Happy Co. Multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is important and timely for the multifamily industry. Our topic is building bridges, embracing diversity, equity, and inclusion in the multifamily workplace. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone, two longtime multifamily industry veterans, and both are nationally sought after multifamily industry speakers, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Communication and Social Media at Grace Hill, and Dana Duckworth, a DEI consultant and culture and engagement strategist. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties, balanced asset solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management, DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience is now available to all multifamily residents, Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. I want to talk a little bit about, in this segment, about the internal processes that a company has and how you go about to deal with or uncover any biases. Dana, I'll start with you.
I think first is education, right? So we need to educate our leaders because we know a lot of the culture of our company comes from top down. What our leaders are involved in, what our leaders think really, really matters to how we drive our organizations. Then we need to identify underrepresented groups. And again, this is about education. So we need to figure out what it is that they need. This is the equity portion. Everybody does not need the same thing, but everybody wants to get to the same finish line. So what is it that we need and how can we fill in those gaps for the underrepresented groups within our organization? Then provide space. Like, people need to be able to voice their concerns. When we talk about processes in those surveys that we send out, we want to know about engagement. We want to know how they feel. Make sure it's actually anonymous. I cannot tell you how many times I've worked on surveys and I'll have people send me a side message in the organization. Like, is this really anonymous? Will people really know? I think creating that safety and really letting people know, hey, this is anonymous, but we need your honest feedback in order to grow or be better as an organization. And then we benchmark everything else within our organization. We should also be benchmarking things when it comes to culture and engagement and inclusion. And then, of course, performance evaluations. I truly believe that there should be unconscious bias training before any cycle of performance reviews. It's so important that those who are going to be reviewing others really check their bias at the door so that that does not lean into that person's performance evaluation. I say do unconscious bias training when you first hire employees, and then every time that cycle comes up, there should be some reminder that we are working away from our biases and truly judging our employees based on their performance, based on their output, based on their ability to meet their OKRs.
Stephanie, getting that buy-in from top management who doesn't have a program in place right now to do this, is that a tough conversation?
It is a tough conversation. You know, one of the things that we have said multiple times with NAA's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, there are so many times that people say, show them the data, show them how when your organization is diverse and inclusive, how much better your company will do, and even show that financial bottom line and how much of an impact it has on there. But you know what? If that's not enough, you know, they should be doing it because it's the right thing to do, period. When you want to be a better organization, you have to look at your internal processes. Aside from anything, every single company should be evaluating what they do on a daily basis and asking the question, why do we do this? Because everything evolves. Everything changes. And that is aside from DE&I. And on top of it, then you add the DE&I initiative, you are then asking the same questions. Why aren't we doing this? What could we do better? How could our organization move forward when we change these things? You know, you hear so many times people use the old analogy, if it's not broke, let's not fix it. Who is the person in that company that is in charge of making that decision of what is competent, what's broke, what's fixed, what's not? You know, because that person likely has a bias of some sort, because if we're just being really transparent here, every single person has bias of some sort. The number one recommendation I tell companies and individuals every single day is we need a minimum bare standard. Okay, this is a standard that every organization should have, and unconscious bias training should be required of every single employee. The same as what we look at when we do sexual harassment training, we do fair housing training, you know, all of our liability courses and compliance courses that we do to limit liability for our companies. That's what we need to do with unconscious bias. And anyone who's listening right now, listen right now. $89 is all it takes. Go to NAA's VISTO, pay the $89, take the unconscious bias course. It's recognizing and overcome racial bias. Now, there's a million other courses that dig in way more, but I know people are going to say, I don't know that I need that. Start with this. 1 hour course gives you one CEC, and I'm telling you, it will start to make you think about how you view the world and the lens that you look at it through, and how the simplest little things that you don't see a problem with are actually bias. And when we remove those bias, you look at the world throughout a different lens that allows everybody to be on a more equal playing field. And then I have to really quickly say, Dana, I love surveys. That is my heart, because you don't know what you don't know, and asking people is so important. So she already touched on everything. I truly can't add anything to it, but go surveys, because your organization needs them. They need to do it. And when you get that feedback from the surveys, do something with it. Don't waste employees' time asking questions and then not making meaningful decisions with that data, because that is where the power is, for sure.
And I just want to echo about surveys. My father said it a little bit differently. He would tell me, it doesn't matter what you think people think. It only matters what they really think. So you've got to ask those questions. Dana, kind of piggybacking on what Stephanie was saying about having tough discussions and internal discussions and so forth, just it's human nature that people are resistant to change. How do you overcome that?
It is human nature, but this goes back to our first
segment, if we're setting the tone that you are coming into an organization built on inclusivity, then we shouldn't have a problem when we get there, right? Mm-hmm. But we know that in a perfect world, that will be the case. But we know that there are organizations that do have some struggles with resistance. And for me, I think it's breaking everything down to a human emotional level, okay? So if you have something like, so you can't understand my lens. I'm a Black woman. I'm a mother of two teenage boys that are 6 feet tall. And when they go out into the world, I have these concerns. Mm-hmm. I have these worries about the way that the world will view and treat them, right? That is my lens. I can't make that anyone else's lens, correct? Mm-hmm. But perhaps you are a white male who has a dog and has a gap in his employment history because of a health issue or what have you. And you know that when you go into workspaces, there may be some questions about your capability. So there's ageism there, correct? There are so many ways in which we are connected to each other. So I'm a Black woman with my two very tall Black sons, but I also have a dog. And now I relate to this person that just came into the workplace that people may be said some things too, and that ageism kind of played a role, but now he's my work bestie. You know why? Because we both have a golden doodle. So it's really finding that common ground. Like, I know that at my last organization, one of my work besties was a farmer. He lived on a farm and had so many animals. Our lives could not be more different from each other. I'm a city girl. I don't have any land or any animals outside of my dog. But really finding that commonality and, like, just the human emotional factor of these are good people. We all work in the organization. We're all driving toward success. So why is it so hard for us to just come together and say, oh, we want the organization to be better? And I think when we create that common ground, we can do that. Another thing I wanted to post on was learning and development. This is one of the processes within organizations that I think we really need to take a look at. Who's getting approved for what trainings? What kind of trainings are we considering? This goes back to the equity point, right? Some people need different things. So are we considering ESL or English as a second language courses? Is that something that we'll approve for training? Are we considering Duolingo or any of the other language learning softwares to support people? Perhaps somebody wants to pick up a second language or just wants to improve on their current skills. These are small things that we can offer to our employees in order to show them, one, I see you, two, I want to help you, and three, by supporting you, we're supporting the organization as a whole.
Yeah, and we've got about 30 seconds left. Stephanie, you want to echo that?
I agree. I mean, I can't say anything different there. I think she has nailed it completely. If I had any other thing to add, I would say pay equity is a big thing that it would probably take us forever to dig into. Facing challenges, navigating pay transparency as an example, you got to dig into that. Get a consultant, bring in someone to help with this. It will make a tremendous difference in your company because it is a big bias that people have, because I feel like I'm doing a lot of work and Dana's getting paid more than me. And so all of a sudden, it is not a black and white issue, mm-hmm. no pun intended. It is literally, I'm triggered by the fact that I know that she makes more money than me. And now I'm starting to pull a card that it's because I'm older than her, which I don't know if I am or not. That's good skincare, Dana. I don't even know who's older here, but you know. But then I start to think about why it is that she's getting a lift up than me because of the pay, and it causes a lot of bad blood,
yeah.
per se, in the organization.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because Multifamily Matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back with our final episode of our segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing an important topic, which is building bridges, embracing diversity, equity, and inclusion in the multifamily workplace. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans. Both are nationally sought-after multifamily industry speakers, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Communication and in social media at Grace Hill, and Dan Duckworth, a DEI consultant and culture and engagement strategist. So we want to talk a little bit in this final segment about building a sustainable, inclusive culture. And I'm going to let you start out with your thoughts on that, Dana.
Yes, I'd be remiss if I did not talk about my love and my passion for employee resource groups. Employee resource groups are truly the reason why I have such a passionate DEI and kind of how I got my start. I founded a Black employee resource group within my last organization, and I never felt so seen, so heard, and so supported by allies in an organization until I was in that space. So if you're not familiar, employee resource groups are voluntary employee-led groups who they typically align with specific identities or intersections. So you may have a LGBTQIA group, a Latinx group, a Black group of employees, or a mental health centered focus group. And these are huge value adds to any organization. One, they're going to help you see any blind spots, right? So we said that we needed that information. We needed to know who the underrepresented were and what they needed in order to receive equity in our organization. These groups will shine that light for you. They have a lens that may not be visible to you, may not be visible to leadership, and they can help you mitigate bias. They can also be used for recruitment and retainment and programming. They just overall make organizations so much better. So I'm so thankful and grateful that I was able to found that group. And since then, I've actually become a certified employee resource group leadership trainer because I truly believe in the value of having these spaces where people can be both seen and heard in an organization. I also feel like mentorship is a great way to create community and culture, not just standard mentorship, right? So we don't just want to pair you with somebody who's in your department. We want to know what your goals are within our organization so that we can align you with someone. Maybe that's somebody in the C-suite. Maybe that is someone who is a hiring manager. Maybe you have aspirations of going into operations, but you're starting in a leasing role. Perhaps you want to learn more about the technology that is used within the organization. So I truly believe in cross-departmental mentorship and then reverse mentorship. So people who haven't been in your organization as long, they have a shiny new perspective and they have so many new ideas that they can provide to people who have been there longer and who have got used to the processes and things. This is when you can start to see some innovation. When you bring new people in, they breathe new light into organizations. Stephanie, I'll pass it over to you. What do you think about programming and initiatives?
I think that employee resource groups are exactly where it's at. I think you just really nailed that. Congratulations. Huge kudos to you in creating that within an organization. It is not necessarily the easiest to start, but what it cultivates once you have it created is really a space that is necessary. And, you know, interestingly enough, I think that it's something we advertise, you know, our HR teams as we're recruiting people into our organizations, but then it's not truly utilized. And that's disappointing because it's there, but is it truly there? You know, because what we write on paper is not equivalent to a culture as our people see it. And so I do love that. You know, when I think about just building the sustainable culture, it's just not enough to give lip service. You have so many companies out there that want to check a box to say that they've done it. Yes, we have included DE&I initiatives within our organization. We're checking that box. We're moving on. But it's not enough. You can't just talk about the trendy topics and put out some initiatives. You really have to start and think about what are you going to do in your company that you can implement and make it sustainable. Because it's just like anything in life. Relationships take work. Businesses take work. DE&I initiatives are going to take work, and it has to be something that is consistent. You don't go to the gym tomorrow and start a diet and expect 2 days later you've lost 10 pounds and you have all this muscle and you look amazing. Because if that was the case, I'd be at the gym right now. It takes perseverance and it takes commitment and consistency. And that's exactly what companies need to look at when they're investing, because it is an investment in your people and your culture when you invest into these programs. You know, for our company, we have really been focused, our HR team, a lot more in the past 2 years on sharing more details about benefits, really, you know, with the goal of truly educating all of our employees on the resources that they have available. Just recently, we notified our employees about mental health resources. Do you know that the insurance that you pay for every single month actually offers mental health benefits, and these are what they are, and really outlining them to them? It's truly up to the employee whether they use them or not, but it's not enough to just say, oh, they got their benefits packet, you know, each year they read through it. No, they don't. They look at how much money they have to pay and panic over how they're going to cover the cost of it. They don't sit there and look at things that may or may not be utilized for them now or in the future. So really educating those employees, just like Dana said, is going to be truly key to that. I also think creating a DE&I committee, even if you only have two people in your organization to do it, I think having that, we have a fantastic one at Grace Hill where, you know, it's internal. We communicate daily on our Slack channel. We present internal webinars because, again, we're always wanting to educate our employees. And most importantly, we offer an open space to employees to feel seen and heard. And the things we're talking about, I learn something new every single day, which to me is what it's all about. So I just kudos to Dana and what she's doing. And of course, for Paul, for allowing us to have this forum on there. You know, if you're interested in learning more about initiatives in your organization, Grace Hill can help you. We have blogs, infographics, white papers, online training courses, case studies, policies, you name it, we have it, to help your company start, because you don't know where to start, and we are better together when we work together. So let us help you.
You know, we've got about a minute and a half left before I want to transition to something else. So Dana, your closing thoughts as far as, you know, what do you recommend people do who are listening to this and say, you know, I really need to get something going. What should they be doing?
I recommend you get started. That's the hardest part, to say, hey, I'm doing this. And I recommend that you are loud about the fact that you are going to do this, because your allies and the people who want to support you in these initiatives, they will show themselves as soon as you say, hey, I'm thinking about doing a DEI committee or a task force or a council, or I want to look at more inclusive practices within the organization. Other people have probably been thinking the same thing, and they just been waiting for their moment or waiting for someone else to mention it. So now is really go time. Go ahead and put that call out there in your organization and let them know what your thoughts are. Start to put those people in places so that you can have those conversations. And like Stephanie said, like, a lot of us have already done this work. So the resources are out there for you. You don't have to build everything from scratch. What you have to do is have the passion to get started, and that starts today.
All right. I want to transition, and I'll start with you, Dana. Tell our listeners how you got your start, and if someone wants to reach out to you, you know, how can they do it, and what are you working on now?
Yes. So I have about 13 years of property management experience, multifamily experience, and everything from leasing to property manager to supplier partner, and then more recently supplier partner within a tech company where I transitioned to DEI and culture and engagement. So for right now, I was actually laid off. So I am focusing on my own brand and supporting other organizations with things that I've already done and have proved positive within different organizations. So I am a DEI consultant. consultant. I love to work with different organizations. I'm a public speaker. I'm a champion for culture and engagement. And also recently, I launched my podcast called The Hilariously Unemployed. It's available to you all on every single platform that you can get podcasts, as well as YouTube. And I just share some of the stories about transitioning out of an organization, what my days look like as someone who is no longer an employee, but starting this business, starting this brand, and the community around me. I also invite others who are hilariously unemployed. And my ultimate goal is to get someone interviewed or hired through coming to sit on my podcast with me. You can find me and my brand called Speak Up Dana at speakupdana.com or email me at speakupdana@gmail.com. My social handles are Speak Up Dana, and my name on LinkedIn, of course, is Dana Duckworth.
Fantastic. I did sit in on one of your podcasts, and it was very hilarious, and it was a great podcast. Stephanie, tell our listeners. Yeah, Stephanie, tell our listeners that they're familiar with you, but a little bit about what you're working on now and how they can reach you.
Absolutely. I continue to be a vehicle to amplify voices for women in leadership with an intentional focus on the work-life blend of working parents. I think it's so instrumental that we have a voice, we stand up, and that is why DE&I is so important to me, is to make sure that everyone feels included and heard. Aside from that, I am also really focused on the Impact Hero Awards that Grace Hill is doing right now. That is where you nominate someone in your community that is making an impact through their volunteer work. And just, we want to recognize those heroes making a difference in their local area. And this is a great way to do it. There is no fee to apply. You can nominate yourself or someone else. And you can do so just at Grace Hill's website. And the deadline is coming up. It's August 4th. So please check that out. There are so many people that are unsung heroes in your community. We want to know about them, because we have three of our top winners that we do choose through a panel of judges, and they give money. So they are each going to give money to the charity of their choice. So it's an amazing event. I hope you will be a part of it. And of course, the easiest way to find me is going to be on LinkedIn. I am on all social media, including the newest Threads, which I'm not sure how I feel about it yet, but I'm there. Like Dana says, being there is half the battle, just getting started. But you can find me on LinkedIn, Stephanie Anderson, Cam Caps, and of course I'm on Instagram. And if you need a little bit of a laugh about being a working mom, TikTok is the place for you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for both of you for being here. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.